In the book of Luke, one of the stories that we know from the book of Luke that it's a great story, but it's also a story that sometimes I think we look at it with the wrong perspective. Let me just read the story to you, and then we'll go back and look at it. And this is the story of the paralytic that his friends took him to see Jesus. So it starts in verse number 17. It says, "One of those days," speaking about Jesus, "as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come from every village and town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present in him to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man who was taken with palsy," or was paralytic. "And they sought means to bring him in and lay him before them. And when they could not find a way that they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and they let him down through the tiling and his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, 'Man, thy sins are forgiven thee.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, 'Well, who is this that speaketh such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them and said, 'What reason ye? Why reason you in your hearts? What is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins,' he said unto the one sick with palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise, take up your couch, and go into thine house.' And immediately he rose up before them, and he took up that wherein he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We've seen strange things today.'" So here's the story, and I think it's key that it starts off, you have the Pharisees, and it starts off by saying, "It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were some Pharisees and some doctors of the law sitting by, which were come from every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal." So here's these Pharisees. Here's the ones who are the ones that are sticklers for the law. Here's the ones who are perfectly willing to bind up people by the law. And here they are. They're sitting by. They're not actually with Jesus. You can kind of picture them. They're on the periphery. So here's these masses that have come to hear Jesus and to also receive from Jesus because they've heard the testimonies. People are coming from all over to hear Jesus. So they're so massed against Jesus that these friends of the paralytic couldn't even get to Jesus. That's how great the multitude in the mass is. And yet the Pharisees are not part of that mass. They're not part of that that gathering. They're on the periphery. They're on the outside. They're sitting by. They're not in, and they're not involved. But now we have these four friends. And these four friends so believed that Jesus could heal their friend. These are good friends. These are the kind of friends you want in your life. They so believed that Jesus could heal their friend that they would not relent in getting Jesus or getting their friend in front of Jesus. And when they were bringing him the cot, so he's a paralyzed man. He can't get there himself. So picture these friends. And let's assume maybe there was like four of them, maybe one in each corner of the cot. You know, maybe it was a couple. We don't know. But so these friends are bringing him to Jesus and they are not going to relent. So when they can't get Jesus, when they can't get their friend to Jesus, not being dissuaded at all, they climb up on the roof. They remove the tiles from the roof so they can then lower their friend and lower him down before Jesus. And Jesus responds and says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven." Now, here's a couple of things I want us to see. And here's the real reason that I wanted to look at this today. There's a lot of times that I think, and I've heard people say this before, and I think sometimes we come to the place where even as being believers for years and years, we know there's power in prayer. We believe there's power in prayer. But I think sometimes we get to the place where we think to ourselves, does it make any difference if I'm praying for somebody else? Because I can be praying for somebody else. But unless they're willing to receive it, they have to play a part in it. You know, you can pray for someone to be delivered from drugs and alcohol. You can pray for someone to be free of addictions or whatever the case might be. Let's say that you're praying for someone who's addicted to pornography. Now, you might be praying for them, but you also realize, you know, they have to want it and they have to receive it. And so sometimes we think, well, what's the point of my praying? Does my prayer carry any kind of weight at all? Because they still have to decide to do it. I can pray all I want, but they still have to make that decision to accept the deliverance and walk in the deliverance and believe for the deliverance themselves. We can't make that person be delivered. If there's somebody that's an alcoholic, you can't make them be delivered. You can pray for it, but you can't make them. And so it kind of leaves us sometimes feeling like, well, what's the point of even praying? Is there any power to my prayers at all? Because I can't make them change. My prayers are not going to make them change. And so oftentimes I think, and when you hear people praying about other people, I think sometimes it sounds like we're praying from a place of not much faith in our prayers. Because at the root, we're thinking, well, it's up to them anyway. You know, my prayers aren't going to make any difference. There's no power to my prayers. But that's why I love this story of Jesus. Because there is power to your prayers. There is things that you can do in faith. There's things you can do in faith that do have great influence and do have great impact. Now, I know a lot of times people look at this story and they say, well, you know, it was the faith of the friends that got that man saved. No, it wasn't. See, we read it and we say, and once they brought the man to Jesus and they lowered him in, Jesus was so, let me read that in the Amplified Bible. It says in verse number 20, and when he saw their confidence in him, springing from their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. So we read that and we think, so his sins were forgiven because of the faith of those men. So, you know, the person didn't have to be involved himself. His faith didn't have to be involved. No, that's not true. We can look at that from several angles, but here's the first thing. Was the man healed right then? See, Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven. But was the man healed? Did the man get up and walk at that point? Was it the faith of the friends that made the man whole and healed? No, what Jesus is saying is, man, your sins are forgiven. Now, when he knew that the Pharisees were questioning him on that, in their minds and in their own discussions, he said, which is easier to say? Thy sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. So Jesus is saying, listen, I have the power and the authority. And I'm giving that power and authority. But it still required the faith of the individual. Even when he said, when the friends lowered the man down to Jesus, and Jesus, seeing their faith, and clearly he's moved by their faith, he said he saw their confidence in him springing from their faith. And from that, he still said, he spoke those words, man, your sins are forgiven. If we think that meant at that moment that man was healed, well, then we haven't read the rest of the story, because he didn't get up and walk at that point. The man still had to. The man that had the palsy, the man that was paralyzed, still had to use and operate in his faith. Until he operated in faith, he couldn't receive it. The faith of his friends was still important, though. The faith of his friends didn't lead to him being saved. But I'll tell you, it did have two powerful effects, and this is the important thing. Before I get to those two powerful effects, let me just make sure I emphasize this. The man who had the palsy, the man who was a paralytic, he had to, and you can see, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to the man. So the man, after Jesus said, because of the faith of the friends, when Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven, the man didn't get up and walk. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He's saying, you are healed. He's saying that. But you know what? Look at it this way. If we take that and we say that, well, because Jesus responded to the faith of the friends and said, man, your sins are forgiven, that's when he was healed. It didn't require the faith of the man himself. Well, if we believe that, then what we're saying is that Jesus responded to the faith of the individuals. It's not the way it works. Jesus doesn't respond to our faith. Our faith is what enacts and empowers us to receive what Jesus has already done. He moves through that faith, absolutely. But it's what he's already done. Did you get saved because you had faith to get saved? When you had faith to receive Jesus Christ, did Jesus say, oh, well, I'm going to go now and heal his or cleanse his soul. I'm going to cleanse all of his sins because now he has faith. No. Jesus died. When you read Hebrews, it makes it clear. Jesus died once and for all. The work was done. Your sins were forgiven 2,000 years ago. Before you were born and before you even sinned, before you were even born, your sins were already removed, eradicated, cleared by Jesus. Now, you still had to play a part in that. See, I lived my life. And even though Jesus had forgiven my sins, it did me no value until I, in faith, believed it and received it. Then I received what he had given me. If I'd have gone my life and never, in faith, received Jesus Christ, even though he had removed my sins, I hadn't received it, it would have done me no value. There was no good. It didn't benefit me at all because I didn't possess it. I didn't take it. I still had to have a part to play in that. Jesus removes sins once and for all. So here when we see Jesus talking to this man, and or to the man and to his friends, what he says in response to the friend's faith is, man, your sins are forgiven. Well, this is what Jesus does. Jesus acts, and then we operate in faith. Now, he was moved by their faith, but he acted. But that the individual, the paralytic, still had to play his part. So even though the friend's faith obviously touched Jesus, and Jesus spoke a word of truth, he's saying, I am the one that forgives sin. Now, for you and I, those sins are already forgiven. Doesn't benefit us until we receive Jesus Christ. But he'd already done the work. Our faith is procuring. Our faith is laying hold of. Our faith is response to what he does. It's not, my faith doesn't make him act. He acts because he already has. He's already done all the work. He's already done everything. So even when Jesus said to the four friends, or to the friends that were there with him, when Jesus said to the friends of the paralytic, man, your faith, or man, your sins have been forgiven you, the man still wasn't healed. He was healed. He just hadn't received it yet. Same thing. He still had to use and operate in his faith. He still had to utilize his faith. And it's in his faith that he said, when Jesus confronted him and looked at him directly, and Jesus gave him an opportunity to operate in faith, and he said to him, I say unto you, rise and take up thy couch and go into that house. So Jesus said, I'm giving you the opportunity. You have to operate in faith. It's got to be your faith. Because even though he said in response to the friend's faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven, he still had not been healed. At least it hadn't been manifested in his body. The healing's already there. Hadn't been manifested. It required his faith. Now here's the thing. We'll look at this more tomorrow. The faith of the friends played a big role. And here's the way it played a role. Two things. Number one, I'm sure it stirred the faith of that man, that paralytic. I'm sure it inspired him to trust in faith as well. But their faith also positioned him, put him in a position that he could receive and operate in his own faith. See, our prayers and our faith for others does make a difference. Yes, that person still has to be involved. We can't force them. But what those friends did for the paralytic man, they inspired him by their faith. But they also, their faith positioned him to be able to receive, to be able to operate in that faith. And we'll look at that more tomorrow. But know this for right now. Your faith does make a difference. Your prayers for someone else does impact their lives. When you pray and you believe and you stand in faith for someone else, you can't make them receive it, but you can help position them to receive it, and you can inspire their faith. Your prayers for others, your prayers of faith for others, have great impact in their lives. Now, we want to join together as a body of believers, and we want to be praying for others as well. And as we pray here in a few moments, know that your prayers of faith, when you take a few moments and you pray along with us, your prayers of faith, even if you don't know that person, God knows them, your prayers of faith are still influencing and having great impact. It's the power of prayer.